I don't think there's been a year that's gone by since 1972 that Martha and I haven't had the opportunity to sing the song we're going to sing for you. It's a narrative, it's a ballad narrative of the life of Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. And it's our privilege for us to be with you. I'll tell you a story of the man who died for me. His life led him from a stable crib to a tree at Calvary. His mother called him Jesus, for he'd save us from our sin. The only thing that is required is that we let him in. The people rose against him, the scribes and the Pharisees. They tried him under Pilate, who said, I wash my hands of thee. They rudely pushed my Lord along to the prison was led. 39 lashes upon his back, a crown of thorns upon his head. They mocked him and they scorned him and they smote him on the face. How cruelly they treated the Redeemer of Adam's race. Laid his cross upon him, but he stumbled and he fell. How strange, this stumbling man has the power to save our souls from hell. Lifted up upon a tree, lifted up to die, his mother wept as she beheld her son against the sky. They laid him in a tomb that day, guarded by some men. But when 3 days had come to pass, you know our Savior rose again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus Christ has come. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is coming back. Hallelujah, hallelujah, oh Lord, please come soon. Oh, Lord, please come soon. Oh, Lord, please come soon. Now, it's going to take me a minute or two probably to get everything in gear here, so bear with me. Very good. We're here where we want to be. As I've experienced the
thoughts and joy of the resurrection this morning. I could see why I could say many, many, many other things, but I have to tell you, I've had a very difficult time keeping my thoughts together in the recent days. Okay, let's see what I want to do here. I've got a chart with the scriptures, and I'm going to be reading some of the scriptures. I'm thinking, what was it like for the disciples, the apostles, those who followed Jesus? What was it like for them to face Jesus after the resurrection? That was what prompted me to go where I have gone this last week or so in these scriptures. After all, Jesus told them several times that the Son of Man is going up to Jerusalem, where he will be crucified, hated, yes, killed, crucified, and then on the third day he would rise again. And the followers of Jesus just didn't get that. It was so unusual, I think. And we being human just couldn't follow that. And I wanted to spend some time thinking about what they must have experienced. And I got into the scriptures that deal with this. And I really don't have a lot of my thoughts, but I'm going to share with you many of these scriptures. But I want to show you just from the standpoint of our chart that I had there on the other page. This guy doesn't seem to be wanting to cooperate right now. I want to go back to the other side. There we go. Connected now. There we go. And this page could be a little farther to the left for me. Okay, there we are. I found this chart, and I wanted to just look at what was the response of the disciples when they saw Jesus. And we've got 10 occurrences when Jesus revealed himself to the different servants. You see the first one here on our left, Mary Magdalene, and that we'll be reading that in just a moment. The second occurrence was with the other Mary, Salome, Joanna, and at least one other woman. And then third, to Simon Peter himself. The fourth occurrence was to Cleopas and a companion on the road to Emmaus. Then the fifth occurrence was the 11 disciples minus Thomas. Remember, there were 12 disciples. Judas has betrayed Jesus, and Judas is no longer counted among the group. And out of the others, they were all there except Thomas. And then the sixth occasion was the 11 1 week later in that same room, and Thomas is there with them. The seventh occurrence, I think we're getting here, seven disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and that's in the record in John chapter 21. The eighth occurrence was with the disciples and a large gathering at or on a mountain in Galilee. The ninth would be apparently just to James himself. We only have one reference about this which would suggest this. And then the 10th occurrence would be the day before he ascended into heaven, and the disciples possibly in Jerusalem before he led them out to the Mount of Olives and gave the Great Commission and ascended into heaven. So we're going to look at the scriptures and consider the circumstances and how they were responding, and ask the Lord, I'll be asking the Lord this, what does it mean to us today Please, now as we get ready to read, let's have a prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we do recognize that we are on holy ground. We're dealing with things that are not ordinary to us. And we do not always understand what you have done and what you have said or what you would say to us today. And so I ask you in the name of Jesus and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit that you would speak to us from these scriptures. Encourage your people. Help us not to fear or to even run away from who we are, but to bring ourselves before you, the merciful God, and as we've been reminded already this morning, the God who is rich in grace. How we do thank you, and we ask your blessings now upon the reading of your word and any thoughts that we might have for Jesus' sake. Amen. The first appearance was to Mary Magdalene, and in John chapter 20, verses 11 to 13, we read, "But Mary stood," she's outside the tomb, "weeping. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' And she said to them, 'As far as I can see, they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.'" And that's really the way it is with us as his servants today. As far as I can see, we are those who walk by faith and not by sight. And so many times we find ourselves troubled and not really able to grasp all that is available for us in his coming. Now the second appearing very close to it, the same morning, the other Mary and Salome and Joanna and at least one other woman. This is recorded both in Matthew and Mark. In Matthew we read, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb." We're familiar with that scenario. And then in Mark 16, and I'm going to read the first 8 verses. "When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices." I should think that would be brought spices, "so that they might go and anoint him or his body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, 'Who's going to roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?' And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back already. It was very large, and that was why they were worried about it. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were," and there's one of our conditions, "they were alarmed." They were not only astonished, they were somewhat frightened. "And he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you.' And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." And there's the words that had caught my attention. In the passages, it's been somewhat amazing to me to see the various reactions and the various conditions or emotions, as it were, that were involved in their responses. Now, I'd like to say, first of all, concerning the order in which we have put these scriptures, probably not all Bible teachers would accept that as the only order. But it seems to work, it seems to fit, and so that's what we're working with. And one of the interesting questions that I've had all along is why that the Lord gave them this word that, "Go and tell them to meet me up in Galilee. There it is in this verse. And it doesn't seem, according to the order of the appearances of Jesus, that he went directly to Galilee, but he does go there eventually, and that's where we see a very momentous occasion of him speaking to the disciples. But they were trembling. They were astonished. They were afraid. You know, sometimes I think, let me get a little sip here. Sometimes I think it's possible that we, even today, are still somewhat shaky and afraid of what just might happen if we were allow the Holy Spirit, the Lord himself, just reveal and have his way. We're so comfortable and we keep everything where we're in control. And that's one of the reasons for those of you who join us here on the first meeting every Lord's Day. One of the beautiful things is to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and just to see how he does lead us. It's wonderful. And I'd rather be in a meeting where he is, where he is in control, even if I'm not in control of my emotions or the whole situation. But we need to fear not, I think. Now, in that same scenario in Luke 24, it was Mary Magdalene. She's usually introduced or often introduced as the one out of whom Jesus cast seven demons or devils. Wonder what that kind of scenario was. But Mary Magdalene loved Jesus, and she's almost in every one of these occasions. She loved Jesus possibly more than any of them, and possibly because of what had happened to her. I think it's important for us to remember, Brother Dave was reminding us this morning, of remembering the Lord, remembering the work that he's done, remembering even what he has done for me or for each of us. Remembering that we were on our own way. All we like sheep had gone astray. We were doing our own thing. And some of those things weren't nice. And yet he loved us and he delivered us. He saved us. Mary Magdalene particularly. She and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things then to the apostles. So we go back to our, I'm not going to get over there. This mouse is not working for me like I want him to. Over here to the third condition. Jesus is going to reveal himself to Simon Peter there in the third appearance. Luke 24, 34, he was saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Right at this moment, I've forgotten who was speaking, but the Lord did appear to Simon Peter himself, and in 1 Corinthians 15, 5, this is recorded again, that he appeared to Cephas, which is another name that we know belongs to Peter, Simon Peter, and then to the 12th, and that would be the fourth appearance. Cleopas and his companion, now this would be on the road to Emmaus. In other words, the next time he's going to appear to Peter and the disciples will be after this event on that afternoon after the morning resurrection. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. They had happened that very weekend. They had some of these things, unusual things, had happened that very morning. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still looking sad. There's another response of, because of what they had experienced. They did not have a lot of hope at that point. And one of them named Cleopas answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he says to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Messiah, the Christ, should suffer these things and enter into glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, this preacher, this Bible teacher, this man, this stranger, interprets to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." And yet at this point, he hasn't revealed who he himself is. And they haven't caught on yet. Wouldn't that have been a great conversation, a great experience to be walking along hearing this? When the scriptures say here that he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, that was surely a Cliff Notes presentation. And there was a lot of scriptures that he was just biting into to reveal. And he acted, so they drew near to the village to which they were going, and he acted as if he were going farther. Sometimes God presents to us what seems like he wants to do or what he would do, and yet he has a will that would be different. So they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us. It is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." Now, they don't say this here, but I think it is true at this point. They are saying, "We like what we're hearing. We're hearing things that bear witness with our spirits concerning this one that we have been following. We would like to hear more." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Now, they had had quite a little period of time preparing a meal. Mr. Harlow suggests very forthrightly that this was probably Cleopas and his wife. So they were at home together. So that's very possible. And when you stop thinking about putting a meal together, it's very probable. Because Cleopas probably wasn't that efficient in the kitchen. Unless he's been retired and his wife has gone on strike. So he took the bread. Jesus takes the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. Previously, there was the phrase, "Their eyes were withheld from seeing." Here, their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And then he vanished from their sight. Isn't that just like the Lord? Just as soon as we think we've got a grasp on how he's going to work and how he acts in our situation, he vanishes. And so they said to each other, something was going on there. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? They hadn't even known who he was. So they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Again, Mr. Harlow says they probably double-timed it. They were back faster than they were when they were leaving Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. They didn't just have to trust the ladies, what the girls were saying. Simon himself was now giving a witness. And then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. We come now to the fifth appearance that day after the resurrection and the 11 disciples and without Thomas in the upper room there. The 11 minus Thomas. Luke 24:36-43. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled. There's another response. Yeah. We're not used to this, Lord. They were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. Some of the translations say a ghost. And for us English boys or with the English background, we understand the ghost just a little different. It was enough to give them the trembles. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit, a ghost, does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still believed for joy, there's another facet of response. Joy's all right. Joy is good. Joy is better than being afraid. And they still disbelieved for joy and yet were marveling. And he said to them, do you have anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate before them. You can imagine how significant that was. This is not just a fantasy, a phantom, not just a fantasy, a vision. This is real, true living, eating together, seeing him take a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate before them. John 20:19-25 tells the same scene. Of the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. There's a little facet of what they're really afraid of in the whole picture. Jesus comes, stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. I'm going to skip over the rest of that conversation, but it does mention here, verse 24, now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. And so then we have eight days later, Jesus appearing again, verse 26 of John 20. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again. Now, what was that week like? We really don't know. We're supposed that some of them were being strengthened and some of them were being encouraged, but by the Thursday of the week, as the sixth, seventh day comes along, they're beginning to wonder, were we snookered somehow? But 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. You see, when we see him and when we believe him, even when we don't see him, there is a response that comes forth of worship, of identity. My Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Sometimes when we're sharing the gospel, we like to say, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whosoever believes, yes, all those down there in the ALF or down in Stark, wherever they are, even there in the chapel on the hill on Hebron, those who have not seen him and yet have believed, blessed are they. He gives a blessing to us. The seventh appearance to the seven disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. After this, Jesus reveals himself again to the disciples by the sea, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that would be James and John, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. They said, we'll go with you. They're not sure what's held in the future for them, and so they are making a break for the old life, as it would seem. But just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And he said to them, Children, do you have any fish? Now, of course, he wasn't talking to boys and girls, but this would have been a way of saying, Hey, you guys out there, do you have any fish yet? They answered, No. He said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they, wondering what they're really thinking, they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. And the disciple, that disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore said to Peter, It's the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had stripped himself for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land and about 100 yards off. And when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, Bring some of your fish that you've just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard, hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although they were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, Come and have some breakfast. Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, Who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. The third time he'd revealed himself to them as a group. The conversation between Peter and Jesus, I'm not going to take time to read now, but if we had time, we would have done so. And so we come now to the eighth appearance, which we find in 1 Corinthians 15, as Paul is writing and talking about the resurrection of Jesus. There are those disciples and a large gathering on a mountain in Galilee. 1 Corinthians 15, 6 actually talks about the meeting or revealing of himself to James. But on the larger group, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. This is really the scripture that caught my attention, is that what was really going on in their minds. And I just did a little word study on the word doubt there. And this is not the normal word for doubt or unbelief. This word is a word meaning to stand in two ways. To stand in hesitation. And this is suggested by Mr. Vines, that rather than unbelief, it was they were still startled and still uncertain as to what to do. And I was kind of reminded of how when I come to a street that I've been directed to go on, but I'm not sure if I'm supposed to go left or right. That's not a good place to be. And you're getting there and you're wondering, should I be on the inside lane or the outside lane? And there's a kind of a hesitation, but then you eventually have to make the choice, don't you? Well, this is what happens. And Peter, well, we're supposed to be up on the mountain. How did we get back here? Oh, this was another example of the word. This word was only used one other time, distazo, standing in two directions, uncertain as to which. And it was when Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and was coming to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him. And then he says to Peter, "O you of little faith, why did you double back? Why are you trying to not sure what to do?" Because that's what was happening, distazo. The ninth appearance was to James as an individual, and that is recorded in 1 Corinthians 15:7. After the verse 6, where he appeared to more than 500 people at one time, this, by the way, is what most Bible scholars believe, that when Paul says he spoke to 500 at one time or was seen by 500, they believe it was at the scenario in Galilee on the mountain. But after this, he appeared to James, to all the apostles. And I wondered, was it just sort of a private appearance to his half-brother? Someone reminded me in my reading, this is his half-brother. And James becomes a very significant apostle in the revealing of the rest of the scriptures and in the place of the church in Jerusalem. He had a special place and relationship with the Lord Jesus. Then on the 40th day, possibly in Jerusalem, before he led them out to Mount of Olives, he gave the Great Commission and ascended into heaven. Luke 24:49-53, "Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. And we have the rest of that same meeting where in Acts chapter 1, where he ascends before, right in front of them. And they ask him, "Lord, is this when you're going to restore the kingdom?" He says, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." And while they were there when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you have seen him go into heaven." Father, we thank you this morning for this record. We thank you that we can say, and I'm always find myself thinking about the Gaithers and how they wrote, "How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the joy and pride he gives. And yet, sweeter still to know with calm assurance that this child will be able to face these uncertain days." And Lord, these are uncertain days, but because Christ lives, we can anticipate blessing. We can anticipate safety. We can anticipate your will being done. And so we cluster ourselves again under your word and under your promise and under that testimony that is before us, that Christ is risen from the dead and therefore there is hope for us. Wherefore we would comfort one another with those very same words. Please add your blessing upon your word as it has been given. In Jesus' precious name, amen.